Reading is from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 15. And there were shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about."
It's a pretty cute video too, isn't it? But not to be a wet blanket, seems a little bit ridiculous too though, doesn't it? I mean, peace on earth, peace on this earth, after the year that we've just had. And most people said that 2016 was the worst year ever. But I just believe that was because a few big celebrities died. Because most years give each other the run for the money, don't they? And I nearly guarantee there's some people out there who would tell you the year that was the worst year ever for them. Maybe it was this year. Maybe this year does give 2016 a run for its money. Let me just tell you some of the stuff. It's been a year of unrest, hasn't it? A year of distress, a year of disharmony, for sure. I mean, if we just look at the earth, the very earth seems to be at unrest and distress. It's shaking and breaking like the earthquake in Mexico, remember that one? The mudslides in Colombia, both of which left hundreds dead or without homes. And then there's the skies that have been spinning in turmoil. Hurricane Irma and Harvey, flooding in Bangladesh. I mean, I don't know if you remember the pictures, but highways were left looking like oceans. And in Bangladesh, the impact is going to go on for generations. Then there's that famine. You know the famine in Africa? Where millions, like millions, are going without food. Not just a small thing, millions of people without food. But it's not just the earth. The inhabitants too. Nation still rises against nation. Man is definitely fighting against man, aren't they? The millions of dollars we see thrown into wars, on terror, over land, over identity, and as always, over egos too. I think sometimes maybe over who has the worst haircut when it comes between Kim and Trump, but we won't get into that. Because then there's those trucks. You know those trucks we keep seeing? Barging through public spaces, intent on destroying. Just the other day, we saw another car through Melbourne, 19 people injured as a result. Then there's the mass shootings we seem to have flash up on our screens every second week. And I'm not trying to target America in this, no, but as of mid-November this year, there were 317 mass shootings in 2017. That's nearly one a day, isn't it? Don't worry, 2016 had 483. This year, those shootings, like the time 26 people were killed at a church in Texas. Half their congregation killed. Or the 58 dead and the 546 injured who went to a concert in Las Vegas. Incidents that made 2017 the worst and most deadly year for mass killings in a decade in the US. But don't worry, we're included in all of this too, for sure, because there's the enslavery of millions of people across the world just to bring us cheap cotton, to give us the clothes, our modern robes and rags that we fight over and throw away just a few days later. We are far from a world of justice, far from that cute little picture of world peace, aren't we? I mean, but Brett, please, it's Christmas. Come on, the beautiful, quiet homes of Australians that we're going to be in, they're no different though, are they? Yes, Christmas is a time of joy and harmony, and you guys will get together and you'll, I'm sure, have a lovely time until Monopoly comes out. We all know it. That divides everybody. Just as a hint, hide the 500 under the beanbag. Also be the banker. Older brothers can do that. You want to see distress and unrest? I have a 3- and a 5-year-old. Start trying to play Uno with them. You see, there is distress and unrest because that is a game where you can't say, well, everyone's the winner, because only one person ends up with no cards. It gets intense. But on a more serious note, there is unrest and distress within our relationships too, isn't there? Not everybody will be snuggled up with care at Christmas. You just have to go down to the courts on Wednesday and see the AVO cases or the domestic violence cases and see the line that stretches the whole day. The rate of betrayal and hurt within our lives. It's not just our news feeds that are filled, it's actually our lives. All of us. But if news feeds help us, I mean, and Facebook's a pretty good social indicator these days, of the 24 million reactions to news that happened in Australia this year, do you know what the most used little emoticon, little emotion was? 7 million sad faces. There was more sad than love and wow combined. And do you know what came in a very close second? Anger. The second most used emotion. Sadness and anger is what fills our nation. And here is the things that were driving that, the key words behind what people were responding to for anger. It was warning, children, death, yes, of course, anger. And sadness, died, killed, death, and cancer. There is unrest everywhere, isn't there? Unrest, distress everywhere. It's in our relationships, it's in our world, it's in our bodies even. And something that pulled this together for me recently was I went on holidays, and on holidays I had this little rule that I would ask the extra question. It's sometimes dangerous because you learn a lot more about people, but it's revealing too. Like the time we were just sitting at dinner, just sitting there, and I turned to the brothers that were sitting beside me, and I asked them that extra question, why are you on this holiday? Two brothers. The older brother had just been sitting there telling me about the night before, how he'd had a great night, he'd had all these drinks, he was tough, he was enjoying it, and he just broke down. This is a dinner. Why? Well, because he and his middle brother, were away on this trip because their youngest brother had decided he was going to go off dialysis. And the day that he did, he had 10 days and then he would die. So they thought, let's go away on this trip. Or the time that I was walking back down to my room and I ran into this man named Mark. He was there with his family having a great night. And I'd seen him there a couple of times, so I thought, hey, I'm just going to say hello. We got chatting. And by the end of it, he shared about a particular night where he lost his patience a little bit. One of his best mates said something horribly inappropriate about his wife. And so he reached for a cricket bat. Just happened to be there. And he hit him. He then called the police. He then bandaged up that guy. But now he's facing 10 years in prison. So I thought, well, as a family, let's go on this trip before the end. I'm not trying to bring a downer, but these aren't just the extreme cases. These were just two stories on my holiday. I mean, we're about to go on holidays. I guarantee there's stories in your lives. There's stories of the people that you chat with, because I haven't even got personal yet. We all know that I could narrow it down to every single one of us, couldn't I? Because we feel it. We experience it in some way, and it may be very real for you today at this time. I was very conscious of saying these things because a woman who's lost a husband recently was sitting right in the middle at the back there last night. It's real. We want peace though, don't we? We don't want this. And we want it more than Miss Congeniality and every Miss Universe contestant there ever has been. We want it. But try as we might, we can't bring peace on earth, can we? And yet what I'm going to say today and what I'm excited about getting to say, I am fully convinced that peace on earth is real. I am fully convinced that peace on earth is available to each and every single one of us today. That is why Christmas can be such a bright, shining light. It's going to shine like an angel on a dark, dark, dark Arabian night. As dark as that backdrop is that I've just given, Christmas shines so much brighter. Because it is the only offer of peace that any one of us has. At Christmas, we remember that peace was promised, that it was attained, and it's going to rain. It's going to rain for all eternity. And Christmas shines that light because Jesus comes as the promised Prince of Peace. I don't know whether we realize this, but Jesus wasn't born into some happy little world. He was actually born into a world that hasn't really changed all that much. It was very similar to what we have going on now. In fact, conflict everywhere. And so his life wasn't all that princely and peaceful either. Even in the way his birth is announced, we heard it just before. It was loud. And what happened around it was pretty full on as well. I always find I don't know about you, but I find the song Silent Night a little funny because, so my wife is pregnant at the moment. We're due in March. We have two young kids. So I've been at a couple of births. They ain't peaceful. It's not exactly a silent night. Now, I understand the holy night, all that sort of stuff. Everything's going to be right. But I guarantee it won't be peaceful. It wasn't exactly that sort of, you get what I'm saying? There was, no, we won't go into it, all right? But the promised Prince of Peace, when he was announced, even it wasn't peaceful. And not because it wasn't a great momentous occasion, but because it should have been big and loud. I keep referring to him as this Prince of Peace, though, don't I? That he was promised. Why am I doing that? Well, we've heard it already, and I want to read it for you again, because this is an incredibly important promise, because it was received a long time before he came. In Isaiah 9, God says to his people, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." See, what happened was God spoke a long, 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 long time ago, saying to his people, out of disaster, you know what's going to come? I'm going to bring victory. I'm actually going to bring this harmony that we're all longing for. I'm going to bring peace. And that's the promise. And how's he going to do it? He's going to do it through a child, through a little child being born, the one who will reign and who will bring peace to this world. Who's excited about Harry and Meghan? Last night they reacted heaps more because they were a bit younger and they understand, I think, the Meghan side of things. But Harry, Prince Harry, is marrying Meghan. Don't know her last name. She's from Suits. But this is a very exciting thing, apparently, because the prince is getting married. Now, I think we don't really understand the concept of princes, because we look at the princes and think, not one of them's ever going to be king. I mean, Queen Elizabeth looks like she's going to live forever. And so we don't get that actually a prince is the one who's going to rule. The prince was that person who was the hand of the king, the son of the king, the one who will be ruling. And that's what Isaiah 9 is talking about. That's what we're expecting. That's what we are promised. A child is going to be born who's going to be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He's the one that's going to come and rule and reign for all time in what? Peace. And so when his birth is announced, it's going to be pretty big, yeah? Birth announcements these days are a bit interesting. I get to hear a lot as a pastor here, and this week I heard a couple, and I think Facebook is the way that most people do it. I actually found out about two this week before they told me by just looking at Facebook. Thanks very much. That was great. I think sometimes even the mothers find out on Facebook before they know that they've been given birth. That's how quick people are with that. But announcements are an exciting thing, aren't they? And we got to hear one today. In Luke chapter 2, we hear the announcement of this prince arriving, and it's incredible, isn't it? Let me read it for you again. "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night." Now, it's night. We get this night here, and we understand night. Yes, it's dark, but we still have city lights and the like. You've been out into the country, long way out, haven't you? Where it's only the stars that are giving you light. That's the sort of dark we're talking here. Maybe a campfire. And so what happens next would have been shocking. It would have been brilliant. It would have been bright. Because what happens? "An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified." We can't, I don't think, even start to picture the brightness of this occasion. And yet I'm hoping we see. That's what Christmas is like. Dark night. Angel. That's how bright it is. Now just imagine being there. The fear and wonder that you would have had. Just imagine how bright it would have been. This brightness is just going to light up your world, isn't it? And there's shepherds. They don't get a whole lot of action out there in the fields. This would have been insane for them. And I love that shepherds are present at Christmas. Do you know why? One of the reasons is because I have chickens. And I like to believe I'm a bit of a farmer. And I love my chickens. Which means if shepherds show up, I can mention my chickens. And for those that come here regularly, you know, most weeks I mention my chickens. But it's even greater than that is the fact that shepherds represent ordinary people. People like you and me. They are humble people who are just there, who God showed up to and says, "Respond to me," just like he is today. They're just people. People who were, yeah, terrified of an angel. I think we can relate to that too. Yes, if an angel rocked up, I think I'd be pretty afraid. And it's always really helpful when you're scared of something, if somebody just says, "Don't be afraid." Isn't it? Angels, thanks guys. Don't be. That seems to be what they say, doesn't it? Verse 10. "But the angel said to them, don't be afraid." Helpful, thank you. But the reason they're saying don't be afraid isn't because angels aren't terrifying. They are the glory of these things. It's because of the news that they bring. It's because what they have to say is so wonderful that you should not ever be afraid again. Don't be afraid. I'm here for a reason, says this angel. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Good news of great joy for all the people. That's Christmas. Good news. That's Christmas. That's why we've set up the dark backdrop, because Christmas shines so much brighter than any part of that. This is like the angels showing up. But why is it such good news? The angel said it. A Saviour has been born. That Prince has come. The promise is about to be fulfilled. Now, I painted a pretty perilous and dark, horrible picture before, didn't I? I reckon you guys could paint just as dark pictures. Our world, we are in a fairly perilous place, aren't we? Each and every single one of us needs a Saviour. And we all know what a Saviour is, right? We understand the concept of a Saviour. I mean, Stephen Smith has been saving the Australian cricket team for the last few years, and he's doing it again in the Ashes. Praise God for him. He's amazing. I thought for a while the administration that Channel 10 was going through was going to save us all from The Bachelor and The Bachelorette and a few other shows that we won't mention. Was that somebody defending those things? Truth is, I actually like it, but it was just there for the lighter moment. And then there's Christmas lunch, isn't there? Christmas lunch. You know, where you get sat down and you're next to... And last night I used Uncle Barry, just checking there was no Barrys in here. There was, unfortunately. Uncle Barry. And you're sitting next to Uncle Barry and you're thinking, great, Uncle Barry again this year. This is going to be a horrible lunch. But don't worry, Aunt Tegan or something comes over and she's there, she's ready to save you from Uncle Barry. And Christmas is saved. We get the idea of a saviour rescuing us from a perilous situation like Uncle Barry. When I was reading some of the reports of those things that I listed earlier, one of the things that really stuck out to me was the Las Vegas shootings, where so many people died just going to a concert. And a couple of stories in particular, there was one actually really iconic picture too that came. It was the first picture to be released when the shootings happened. Okay, this is the picture. It's horrific, really, isn't it? Now, the photographer said when he was taking it, he tells about how he didn't actually know whether, when he took the photo, that if the woman that was there was injured, whether she was alive. But what he knew was this man was clearly shielding her body with his. So he jumped on her and he was protecting her, trying to save her, wasn't he? At the end, he was able to say, thankfully, they both got up and ran away. And now there are other stories just like this of saviours coming in, like Summer Clyburn. She's a 22-year-old mum. She'd just become a mum. And she was shielding, the same way, her injured fiancé, who was severely injured. He'd actually been shot in the head. While she was shielding him, she took some bullets. And then there's Jonathan Smith, who people reported about this guy and had to try and find him, who turned back and he ended up saving, dragging 30 people out. While he was doing it, though, while trying to save this small group of children, a bullet struck him in the neck. It fractured his collarbone, cracked a rib, and bruised his lung, and it's now actually lodged inside him, and he's going to live with that bullet forever. And we sort of, in a strange way, love these stories, don't we? We kind of like them, because they're saviours, people who risked it all. They were delivering others from the perilous situation that they were in, but it's only limited, isn't it? Because that same photographer talked about taking pictures where there were people stacked on top of each other that didn't get up and run away. Horrendous images of our world. Horrendous reminders that we can't actually save ourselves or each other. But this is what makes Christmas shine so bright. Because at Christmas, the Saviour came for all people, and he is a Saviour that isn't limited. The promised Prince of Peace came. We heard it in the song. For the joy of the world, he was born, bringing peace to us all through the gift of the Son. Now the darkest of ages are done, for the Saviour of heaven has come. This Prince, born to be the Saviour, this Prince born to bring peace, this Prince crowned and robed and raised up. But we all know that he was crowned with a crown of thorns. A purple robe, yes, was given to him, but it was a robe of mockery as he walked towards a cross, because that's what he was raised up upon. He was raised up and killed upon that cross. But by his death, he made peace with his blood, the scriptures tell us. Because in that moment, through that Saviour's sacrifice, he shields us. And more than that, he doesn't just shield us. He takes all of the, and deals with all of the darkness that this world has ever thrown up, all the darkness that's in each one of us too, the distress, the unrest, the disharmony created by us, he takes it. And he doesn't just stay there. He rose again to bring peace, peace that is guaranteed for all, because there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. As the angels sang, peace to all on whom his favour rests. Christmas confronts us a little bit, doesn't it? It's a bit uncomfortable when we look at it in truth. And then Jesus all of a sudden shines beautifully and brightly through it. Because we need a saviour. Romans 8:1 that I just read said that there is now no condemnation, which means there was an issue before. Unrest, distress, disharmony. We know it. The world shows us the symptoms of it every day, and we too show it each day. Our bodies, our relationships, it's there. As we live with unrest, distress and disharmony, it points to the ultimate problem that each and every single person in this world has. We don't live at peace with God, the Creator. We don't live at peace with the Lord of all. But because of Jesus, because of the Prince of Peace, peace has been offered to you like a gift. We just have to take it. That's got to be exciting, doesn't it? I mean, I sometimes wish that people would react to Jesus, the gift, the same way that my kids reacted to receiving their trampoline the other day. It was incredible. I couldn't have pictured it better. And it gave me this illustration, which I'm stoked about. You see, what happens is Vic and I, because I'm a pastor, this is our excuse anyway, give our kids a gift early. We don't really. We just can't help but give it to them earlier. I mean, Vic got her gift a couple of days ago too, but that beside the point. What we did was we set up the trampoline, and it didn't fit under the tree, if you're wondering, so we couldn't wrap it and put it there. So we left it out back, but we pulled the curtains. And so we pulled the curtains so that they couldn't see out and see it. And so we told them, come in, your gift's here. And they came in and they stood at the back, right in front of the curtain. And as I pulled the curtain back, amazing reveal, pulled the curtain back, my son Micah literally did this. He went, a trampoline! He was so stoked, and then he couldn't help himself, a trampoline, a trampoline, a trampoline, a trampoline, a trampoline, like he was jumping on it in his speech, and ran out the back, get your shoes off, I said, out the back, onto the trampoline. He was stoked because of this gift that he had received. And guess what? My daughter Tilly this morning, just as excited about the Elsa Band-Aids we gave her. Christmas, the Prince of Peace has come and said, guess what? You can have peace. You just got to unwrap it. How much better than Elsa Band-Aids is that? Peace is offered. No wonder the day Christ was born, this announcement, heaven approved. I mean, look at what heaven says. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men, to all on whom his favour rests. Peace is offered to all who respond. All who respond to Jesus coming. Today in the town of David, he said, a Saviour has been born. And because of this birth, because of Christmas, today, here and now, peace is offered to you. But I've said there's going to be this peace brought, and we know Christmas happened a long time ago, don't we? But I remember my list. Do you remember my list at the beginning? Ain't much peace. And I remember my year. This year, like most, has at times been a year of unrest for me personally. And last night, as I said that again, I said I looked out and saw people, and I know the details of some of your lives, and you know the details of my life. You've been through them with me. My year hasn't been peaceful. It certainly hasn't perfectly functioned in harmony like peace is meant to. But the joy of Christmas reminds me peace was promised. It has been attained, and it's going to reign. Because peace is promised. We saw that from Isaiah 9, but I want to share with you something that's written just a little bit after that, another promise. It's a little picture. And it's going to seem strange. Let me read it for you. Isaiah 11 says, the wolf will live with the lamb, and the leopard lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together. And the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child will put its hand into the viper's nest. What a strange picture. You almost can't picture it, can you? Of course we can't, with the way our world is. But that's a picture of peace. That's a picture of perfect harmony. A world that is promised because the Prince of Peace has come. He died and he rose again. A promise that says he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who is seated on the throne, that's the king, said, "I am making everything new." You see, there is another promise. Peace will reign. Peace is coming. Christmas shines like that angel on that dark night, doesn't it? Jesus, the Prince of Peace, has come. What a joy the Christmas message is. You, me, we, all of us, we can have peace because the Prince of Peace was born. Peace has been promised. It has been attained. It's offered on this earth today. And one day, the Christmas message promises that peace will come to this earth fully for all those who trust in Jesus, the Prince of Peace. So let me ask you, this Christmas, have you got it? Have you got peace? The peace that is offered by this beautiful Prince. Because it is a pretty good idea, this peace on earth. And you and me, we can have it now. Now, the world won't be party poppers and candy canes all the time, no. The night can be and it will be dark, but Christmas is that light. And my prayer is for each and every single one of you that you might have this peace. Our prayer here at Nauwi is, yeah, we want peace to come to this world, but we know there is only one way that it will come. The arrival of the Prince of Peace at Christmas, and then one day, his glorious return. Imagine the announcement that day. You see, there is good news of great joy for all people. Let me pray. Lord and Heavenly Father, we praise you for the Prince of Peace. Thank you that he came. Thank you that he was promised, that he attained peace, and that one day he will reign in peace. And Father, thank you that he saved us from the darkness that we have, the problem that we have of our division with you. We ask that this Christmas might be a Christmas where we really experience that bright light of Christmas, the peace that you offer, and praise your name. Father, thank you that there is good news of great joy for all people at Christmas through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We want to thank you all for coming to Nauwi Baptist Church this Christmas morning. It's wonderful to have you all here. And if this has been something that has stirred questions in you, great, thank you. Please ask your questions. One of the best ways for you to answer them is to read more about the Prince of Peace. So we've got Bibles at the back if you want to take them. There's Two Ways to Live tracts. Another great way is just come back here on a Sunday, hear about my chickens maybe. You can come along, we will love you, we will serve you, we will long for you to understand more and more about the peace that you can have because of this man Jesus. For now though, I think we're going to sing.